Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the Sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church, located at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. Again, this year, please bring your families to join us in a fun activity night in Bethlehem. It will be Saturday, December 10th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. here at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. They will get to learn about the birth of Jesus Christ and Mary and Joseph's travels to Bethlehem. Also, again this year, we will be hosting another community caroling. This will be held at Crossroads Park on Sunday, December 11th at 6 p.m. Georgianne Coons will provide live music as we enjoy singing our favorite carols. Jim Paffenberger and Mark Smallwood will be the MCs for the night, and we will celebrate with cookies and hot chocolate. This morning's radio ministry is provided by Sandy Hall in honor of Larissa's birthday. First, for this morning, we will enjoy some special music entitled Let Some Drops Fall on Me by Jim Paffenberger, followed by our scripture reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13, and then our sermon entitled The Right Kind of Christian Living by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Morning.
Good morning.
This song is kind of tricky, not the singing part of it so much, but the timing of it. And my timing's a little bit off because it's talking about let some drops fall on me. And what did we get yesterday? Snow. But in another light, this song also talks about not necessarily drops that come from heaven, but the showers of blessings that God provides us. And so when you hear this song, not only think about the good rains that we get from time to time that we need, but also God's blessings that fall to us and for us. And sometimes, like the song we'll say here in a moment, just let a drop of those blessings fall on me. Lord, we hear showers of blessings falling down, streams of mercy never end. Ground, on this low ground, let some drops fall on me, Lord. Let some drops fall on me while you're sending showers of blessings. Let some drops fall on me in the time of drought and famine. Lord, to Thee have we cried. In due season, You send those showers. Let our souls be satisfied. Let some drops fall on me, Lord. Let some drops fall on me while You're sending showers of blessings. Let some drops then fall on me. Let some drops fall on me, Lord. Let some drops fall on me. Yeah, while You're sending the showers of blessings, let some drops then fall on me. Lord, while You're sending showers of blessings, let some drops then fall on me. Let some drops, Lord, fall on me. Fall on me. Fall on me.
Yep. Hey. Amen. Thank you, Jimmy. All right. Again, this morning's scripture reading is going to be from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Warning against idleness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: if a man will not work, he shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread they eat. And as for you, brothers, never tire of doing what is right. And now we will enjoy our morning sermon, The Right Kind of Christian Living, by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
Good morning. Our opening hymn, Lead Me, Lord, written by Samuel Wesley, the grandson of Charles Wesley, says, "Lead me in thy righteousness. Make thy way plain before my face. Make it abundantly clear. Put it right up in my face. Do not let me miss it, Lord," is something that I have been praying all week. For this passage is a difficult passage from Paul. It is one that in and of itself can step on toes. So let me make two things really clear. Number one, there are people, for whatever reason, that cannot work. And number two, Paul calls us to work in the church, to work for the church, to work for building the kingdom of heaven here on earth. And we are all part of the same body. But we all have different gifts, and we all serve in variously different ways. This Sunday's epistle reading holds direct, practical advice that follows the rest of Paul's letter. Yet, it can be a little difficult for us to understand. One of the most difficult jobs in any church is the volunteer or the staff person who addresses the people who need help. I am so thankful to Kathy because she has been downstairs working in Trinity's Helping Hands, the clothing closet, and the food pantry on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 12 to 4. And I greatly appreciate her and Glenda and Tiffany and Mary Ellen and Carolyn and Chad and all the different people who help and donate their time to that ministry so that we can be the body of Christ serving the community. And I really appreciate Terry. Number one, I don't think anybody has any idea how much she does around here. And number two, she graciously addresses the calls and the need for gas cards, people who come to the door needing help for one reason or another, whether it's a form of help we provide or not. And she does it all with grace. She even addresses our neighbors who frequently come over just to chat. And when I'm really busy, she goes down and lets them know that we care about them, but Pastor is real busy right now. Working with those in need isn't always easy, and I highly respect the people who do it. There are those who are grateful for the slightest bit of help. And yet there are those who grumble about the choices in our food pantry. There are those who cry because they find clothing, school clothing for their children down in the clothing closet. And the homeless are so very grateful for a warm coat or for a blanket. You can ask Kathy, those blankets, sleeping bags, and coats don't last very long down there. And then there are those you can tell by using Jackson County Community Tracker, go to every place in the county to receive help. We talked about this yesterday in our confirmation retreat. There are always going to be those few people who take advantage of God's loving people. On the same token, that should not stop us from serving the needs of those who are truly needy. And it's not for us to sort out, or it's not for me to sort out anyway. I know God does such a better job of sorting it out. We provide help with the same standards for all. And if there are those who are taking advantage, they'll have to answer to God someday, and he can sort things out. I am reminded of Scott Fitzgerald's saying, before you criticize others, remember they may not have had the same opportunities in life that you have had. It is not for me to judge who is and who is not taking advantage of the systems. I remember another pastor's approach. It was a pastor in our ministerial association. We opened a paper and hygiene pantry, and he said there is dignity in work. So we made it to where the people who were receiving help would volunteer for a short period of time. And there is dignity in work. Volunteer work is very important. Those who volunteer at the alley have frequently been fed by the alley or received a food box from them. I remember one individual came into one of my previous churches and he told me that he needed $10 for gas. So I told him that we had some cleaning that needed done and we had some light bulbs that needed changed. As you can tell, I'm a little vertically challenged, so even on a ladder, I can't always reach those light bulbs. I told him if he would work for an hour, I would give him $15. An hour and a half later, I went looking for him. He had cleaned the entire fellowship hall, all the bathrooms, replaced the light bulbs, and he had even cleaned the kitchen windows. And I told him that he didn't need to do that. And he said, well, they looked a little dirty, and besides which, it warms the church to see the sunlight streaming in. I tried to give him $20 and thank him for going above and beyond what was asked of him. And he said, no, I only need $10, and that's all I will accept. Now, there's something to being said for doing your job with pride and with a grateful heart. And I believe that that is part of today's scripture lesson. Paul tells us in verses 6 through 10 something about work. He said that there were some people in Thessalonica who were not working, some who would not work, and some who could not work. Possibly some could not find a job, and possibly some had some form of disability. So there were those present in the church that he was addressing that wanted to work but could not. And we can relate to that today. But there was another group in the church that he was addressing who would not work no matter what. And Paul called them idlers. And he inferred that they were freeloaders. Notice the strong language that he uses in verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching that you have received from us. Paul commands the rest of the church to stay away from them. There is dignity in work, Paul implies. And of course, all who will not work are dependent upon those who do work. Paul says, stay away. Those are harsh words. There are certain things required of a Christian, and if that Christian is unwilling to do so, then the body of Christ is commanded to step back a bit. Those are harsh words. They're not mine, they're Paul's. But even I, the one with the gift of mercy, the one who wears her heart on her sleeve, needs to step back when there are those who are being idle and they turn into busybodies. Why did the idlers of Paul's time become idle? Well, you see, in Thessalonica, this was written with the expectation of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. So some thought, well, if Jesus is coming back tomorrow, there's no need for me to work today. So they just folded their arms and sat down and did nothing and asked the people who were working for food. Paul said this should not be so among God's people. There are some people like that today. But like I said, we can't let them stop us from truly being the church and meeting the needs of the needy. Paul uses himself as an example. Do not follow their example. Rather, follow our example. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but so that we would make ourselves a model, an example for you to follow. Paul earned his keep as a tent maker in order to serve for an example for those who would not work. That doesn't mean that Paul did not at times take love gifts from congregations. The book of Philippians was written because of a love gift that was given to Paul. Paul says Jesus Christ was our example. He was a carpenter who worked for his keep. Luke tells us that there was a group of women who followed Jesus around and who would support his ministry, discipleship at its finest. Jesus himself, like Paul, was an example that there is dignity in work. I have known some wonderful ministers who have been tent makers or carpenters or whatever their part-time job was, and they served the church, like Gary Dyer. Gary serves for free, trusting that God will meet his needs. I have the utmost respect for local pastors, for part-time pastors, for bivocational pastors, and for lay speakers. They perform an invaluable service for all of us. It takes both ministers and lay people for successful ministry to thrive. As a matter of fact, I believe once we come into one accord, following in step with what the Lord would have us to do, this church will double. I believe that once we all take a part in some of the ministries, and some of these volunteer ministries are headed up by lay people, we will have more to offer the community, and we will draw in more people who wish to serve our God. Sometimes this passage can be used to club people over the head. That is not my intention. It was one of the lectionary passages. It was titled, The Right Kind of Christian Living, and I decided that this passage would be good for us at this particular time. Paul proceeds with verses 11 and 12. We hear that some among you are idle. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the bread that they eat. The apostle seems to indicate that busy bodies should get busy doing the work of the church. They should busy themselves with rowing the boat rather than rocking the boat. Paul concludes this passage with the most wonderful statement. He says, "As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is right." The word right in the original language comes from the same word as justification, which means right standing before God. Never tire of doing what is right in the eyes of God, for you shall be rewarded. There is a person who clocks in at 8 o'clock, takes an extra 5 to 10 minutes on the morning break, on the afternoon break, maybe an extra 10 minutes at lunch. They even get upset when they have to use the restroom on their own time. But when that clock strikes 4 o'clock, they are out of there. And then there are those people who retire early so that they can serve God's kingdom, so that they can do volunteer work, so that they can do missions. There are people on a mission trip, like Mark Smallwood, who work from sunrise to sunset. Our church is filled with people who volunteer, either doing Meals on Wheels or volunteering at the hospital. In many different ways, this church serves our community and serves the kingdom of God. I am hoping that we can find a few ways to bring us together on one accord as we continue to serve the kingdom of God. One kind of work has to do with the job, the way we put meat and potatoes on the table. The other kind of work has to do with a vocation, that which we feel we are called to do, that which the Bible commands us to do, to be about kingdom building. A nurse tells the following story. He was admitted to the emergency department and then placed on the cardiac unit. As this great mound of humanity, this man who was dirty, unclean, unshaven, and dangerously obese was wheeled past the nurse's station. All the nurses put their eyes down, and their silent plea was, "Please don't let me be the one who has to admit him. Don't let me be the one who has to bathe him and take care of him." But Bonnie, the head nurse, spoke up and said, "I want this patient." Now that was unconventional. The head nurse didn't usually take on a patient, let alone one who might be difficult. As she bathed him and cared for him, she hummed and she prayed. And she could tell that this relaxed him, that this eased some of the embarrassment that she knew he might be feeling. And then she had an idea. She said, "You know, we don't much have time for back rubs in the hospital anymore, but I bet one would feel really good and ease those taut muscles of yours. And I believe it will begin to help you to heal." She said, "That's what this place is about. It is a place to heal." So is the church, beloved. As she continued to rub his back, she finished it off. The grand finale was warmed lotion and then some baby powder. He rolled over on his back and he looked at her with big, beautiful brown eyes. And she could see him as a little boy. And she began to wonder, where is his family? Where is his mother? What was he like as a little boy? Tears streamed down his face and his chin trembled. He looked at her and he said, "Thank you. Nobody has touched me in years. I believe I am beginning to heal." Jesus Christ knew the power of touch, especially the power of touch to bring about acceptance. In this day and age, it's difficult with COVID for us to reach out and touch people. But we can accept people for who they are, where they are, and that in and of itself brings about a healing. Melissa came into my office this morning and said, "I've invited 3 homeless people to come to church. I just wanted you to know, because if they come, I want you to hear their story." She says, "I go by and I check on them. Sometimes I bring them home so that they can have a shower. I try to get them some food and I try to take care of them." Now that is kingdom work. What about you? Do you like the job that you are doing? Or are you one of the 50% of Americans that hates their job but must go in every day? Either way, Sam Keen asks 4 questions that will help you to discover something that you love to do, something that will serve God, community, and possibly country. What are my gifts? What delights me? Whom does my gift serve? And what disciplines am I willing to follow so that I might use my gift to serve my God? Perhaps when we discover our gift, a delight, a need, and a discipline, we may discover our own spiritual calling. There is work, and then there is kingdom work. We need to get busy with kingdom work. John Claypool quotes Ruth Carter Stapleton, "Remember, God will do everything you cannot do in order for you to live, but he will not do anything you can do in order that you should grow." This church needs to grow together. It has been a difficult several years. We have had COVID. We have had losses. We have had all kinds of things happen. We have had a pastoral change, and that rocks the boat for several years. But I believe that God is now saying to us, it is time to lean in. Come together as family. Put aside all the denominational differences. Put aside our own opinions and come together to grow this church, to serve the kingdom of God, and to serve our community. And I ask each and every one of you to be in prayer for ways to do that. Someone did come up with a wonderful way, and I don't want to share it right now because it's up to them to share. But I am watching people come up with ways to bring us together, to bring up some closeness, to draw us back into one accord. And if you have ideas on that, I would love to hear it. Various people in this church have donated their time for a long time to sustain ministries. Times are changing. Things are slightly different, and that is difficult. But I believe that that money that was given to us from the city is God saying, "I am right here in your midst. I'm not done with this church." Now it is up to us to do our part to move forward, to find ways to connect with one another first, to grow spiritually, and to continue to serve our community. Our song of response is "Little is Much When God Is In It." Isn't that the truth? It says, "The harvest field now ripened, there is work for all to do. There is plenty of work in this church for everyone to do. There is plenty in this community for everyone to do. There are ways to serve our kingdom. Join me in praising our God, for it is true, little is much when God is in it.
In the harvest field, now right there, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the Master's voice is calling to the harvest, calling you.
There's a place you're called to labor.
And does the place that you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if our God is in it, for He will not forsake His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. And when the conflict here has ended and our race on earth is run, He will say, if you've been faithful,
would please come forward. We will prepare for our time of tithes and offering.
You don't withhold your love from us. Arms open wide upon a cross. You give no matter what the cost. Jesus, we see you. All of these worlds your hands have made. A billion stars stretch out in space. But these are just echoes of your grace. Jesus, we see you.